Hey guys, how's you guys' day going? So, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Carlos. I'm a wrestler here at Simpson.
And I'm Litzy.
And we wanted to wish everybody a happy Hispanic Heritage Month, including all the No Sables out there. I feel you. I get it. So we're going to read some scripture here. I'm going to do it in English, and Litzy's going to do it in Spanish. The first one is 2 Samuel 5:4. David was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years. And Acts 22:13 tells us, God raised up David to be king, for God said of him, I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursues my heart and will accomplish all that I have destined him to do.
Del segundo libro de Samuel, capítulo 5, versículo 4. David tenía 30 años cuando comenzó a reinar y reinó 40 años. Del libro Hechos, capítulo 13, versículo 22. Tras destituir a Saúl, puso por rey a David, de quien dio este testimonio. He encontrado en David, hijo de Isaí, un hombre conforme a mi corazón. Él hará todo lo que yo quiera.
All right, and now we want to introduce our director of spiritual formation, Natalie Goins.
Thank you so much. I'll take this one. Thank you. First off, thanks, Nick. Okay, first off, I want to give a shout out to three CalPAC players of the week. We've got Iris, Brooke, and Hey Cub. Hakupo. Okay. All right. Very cool. Hey, let's give them a hand. They had awesome games this last week. Very cool. Okay. Happy October. Happy Hispanic Heritage Month. Thank you, Litzy and Carlos. Okay. I'm going to show you guys a picture. I don't know if you guys have heard of this man right here. This man's name is Frane Cilic, and he's from Croatia. Where's Lana? Lana's from Croatia. Lana's not in chapel today. Awkward. Okay, that's okay. So this is a man named Frane Cilic. He's from Croatia. And I don't know if you guys have heard about this man before, but this man right here is said to be the luckiest man to ever live. Some say the unluckiest man to ever live, depending on how you look at it. But why did people say that? This is why people called him the luckiest man to ever live. They said this because apparently, and all these articles came out about him last year, this man reportedly has survived 7 unrelated near-death experiences, okay? Not 1, 7, okay? So basically, throughout his lifetime, in a very random turn of events, he has encountered 7 different sporadic times where he almost died, and it's like a miracle that he's actually still alive. So let me share some of these with you. Okay, 1962, Frane was in a deadly train crash where 17 people died. Frane was the only one to have survived, first near-death experience. A year later, in 1963, Frane was on a plane crash. The engine stopped, everyone died except Frane. He made it out alive, second near-death experience. Third near-death experience, in 1966, Frane was in a bus crash where 4 people died, but he miraculously survived. That was his third near-death experience. 4 years later, in 1970, he was in a car crash. Apparently, his car blew up. It caught on fire and blew up. He nearly escaped, so that's his fourth near-death experience. 3 years later, in 1973, he was in another situation where his car caught on fire, and he escaped. So, fifth near-death experience. Okay, Frane then went 22 years without any near-death experiences, but in 1995, Frane was walking the capital street of Croatia, and a bus hit him, and he survived, sixth near-death experience. And then a year later, in 1996, he was driving on mountaintop Cliff Roach in Croatia. He took a turn too fast, almost collided with a truck, but he swerved, went through a guardrail, drove off the cliff. Somehow, he was ejected from his car. He grabbed a tree branch on the side of the cliff and watched as his car fell 300 feet below him off the cliff. Seventh near-death experience, okay? But the story isn't over. Apparently, So all of his friends were like, you're the luckiest man to ever live. You should definitely buy a lottery ticket. Okay, you're super lucky. This will probably go really well for you. So in 2010, when Frane was 81 years old, he bought a few lottery tickets and he won for $1.3 million. And we actually have a picture of him with his lottery tickets right here. So, okay, the luckiest man to ever live right here. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right. Well, I bring this up because you guys know that there's those people, right, where they just have the craziest stuff happen to them all the time. If something has ever happened to anybody, it's happened to them, right? And you bring up a situation that that's happened to you, and they're like, I've been through that too. Some of the things, you know, there might be people in our lives where some of the things they go through that they tell you about, it just feels unbelievable. You hear their stories, and you're like, is this real life? And in all honesty, I do think that there are a handful of people that just seem like everything happens to them, right? Some of us might have friends like that, those people where they just go through it all. And a lot of us have many different chapters and seasons in our lives, right? But there are those certain few people that seem like they have a lot more crazy happen to them in their lives, right? Or on a more serious note, it kind of seems like their lives are way harder than others. And maybe you actually personally feel that. Like on a serious note, you might feel like as you look at your life, it's been a lot of hard and not a lot of easy. And you might look at people around you and see their easy lives and you feel like, when am I gonna get and catch a break, right? Maybe you feel like your journey has been hard after hard after hard, another hard season after another hard season. And you might think to yourself, what am I to do with this? What do I do with this? You know, we're in a chapel theme this semester called The Journey, different chapters and seasons in our walk with God. And I want to tell you a story in the Bible about a man. And it kind of seems like everything happens to him. In my opinion, this story of this particular character, I think he has the craziest life out of anybody in the Bible. And this particular character, he's mentioned over 900 times, so by far one of the most popular characters in the Bible. And he's mentioned more than any other human character outside of God. So any other human character, and that would be the character of King David. King David. And some of us know King David's story, some of us don't. But in my opinion, David, hands down, by far, had the most tumultuous life out of anyone in the Bible. His story is a roller coaster of events and emotion and tragedy and pain and heartbreak and loss. But there's also a lot of beauty in his story too. And so I'm going to share his story this morning. And like I said, some of you know it, some of you might not, totally fine either way. But I think David's story gives us a paradigm of how to walk with God over a tumultuous lifetime. How to walk with God over a tumultuous lifetime. So let me share his story and we'll go from there. Okay, so we first read about David as a young boy, okay? We read about him when he's about 15 years old. And what we learn early on is that David is just overlooked. He has all these older brothers. He's the youngest in the family and he's unseen. He's just totally invisible in his life. And so we read early on that David's first season of life is him just being overlooked. There's a story where David's dad calls everyone together in the family and he just forgets to invite David. David just doesn't even get invited, okay? So first season of his life, David feels overlooked. And maybe some of you have honestly felt that way. From the very first season of your life, you've just felt overlooked. And I know some of my deepest wounds in life is a feeling overlooked when I was a kid, maybe not taken seriously. And this is what happens for David. But here's the thing, God never overlooks David. God notices David when he's 15 years old. And what happens is God has someone come to David's house and recruit him in front of all of his brothers to be recruited to go work in a royal palace. So David goes from being overlooked to chosen by God at age 15 as a teenager, okay? And this happens in front of all of his brothers. So, and then something I want to mention as I tell David's story is that David actually kept a prayer journal throughout the course of his life. So everything David ever went through, he would talk to God about it. So as I share his story, I'm going to share some of his prayers to God, and they'll be up here on the screen. But pretty much, like I said, David goes from this season of being overlooked to chosen, okay? So that's a big, big switch. This is what David says to God when he realizes that God sees him and knows him. Like I said, it'll be up on the screen. He says, "Lord, you know everything about me. You know, when I sit and when I stand, you know my thoughts, you know everything I do. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." So David is expressing that he's just so thankful that God saw him when no one else did. He's just so thankful that God notices him when everyone else felt like he was invisible. So what happens? So God notices David. He goes and lives in this royal palace, and his job is to be a harp player. He plays harp for the king. And remember, he's still a teenager. So by now, he's about 17 years old, and something happens. When he's there in the palace, playing harp for the king, working in the palace, an enemy army attacks the city that he's in. Okay, this army attacks, and what happens is no one wants to fight this army. And this army has a really big, powerful leader named Goliath. A lot of you know the story. No one wants to fight Goliath or this army. And David, at age 17, steps up and he's like, "I'll fight the army because I have God on my side." What's wrong with you guys? We have God, right? And so he chooses to fight this military leader and he just kills him. He assassinates him out of nowhere. Okay, and pretty much what we see is David out of nowhere becomes this military hero at age 17. So let me just recap this. David goes from age 15, he's overlooked. Then he gets chosen by God to work in this palace. And now he's instantly like this Medal of Honor hero in his country. Like super famous, all before age 18. Now remember, I told you guys, David would always talk to God about everything he went through, all of the different seasons. This will be up on the screen. He said this, Psalm 18, he says, "I love you, Lord. You're my defender, my protector, my strong fortress. With you, I'm safe. I called to the Lord and he saved me from my enemies." So David is just expressing how thankful he is to God for protecting him, for allowing him to have victory against this really big military leader. So pretty much from here, David enters this season of fame and flourishing. And like I said, what we see is David's popularity just overnight pretty much rises, okay? So not only God notices David now, but the entire country notices David. So people are noticing that David's attractive and strong and smart. He's a musician and a poet, but he's also in the military and he's popular and young and in touch with his emotions and he's handsome. He's him, right? He can do it all. This is also a season where all these good things are happening to David. David meets the love of his life, this woman, they get married. This is also a season where David meets his best friend of all time, and that'd be Jonathan, okay? So all these good things are happening to David. Now here's what happens. Because David is famous and his popularity is rising, everyone knows him, everyone loves him, what we see is the king of the country starts to get really jealous of David. He's envious because people are saying that they like David more than the king. People are saying that they think David is stronger and wiser and better. And the king is starting to feel really jealous. And this is King Saul, of course. And what we see is the king is so upset that he decides he wants to kill David. Okay, he wants to kill him because he's jealous of David. And what we see is one day David is playing his harp for the king, and the king pulls a spear out and tries to spear David to the wall. David ducks, the spear hits the wall, and David runs out of town. Okay, and what happens is pretty much the king has his entire army chasing David. Now, let me just recap this for a second for you guys. So we see David going from this season of being overlooked at age 15 to being chosen by God, and then he's a military hero and really famous, and now he's running for his life. What a season shift. So we see David is actually hiding in caves, and he's hiding in the wilderness, he's hiding in trees, and like I said, this entire army is chasing David. Not just for a few days. They're not just chasing David for a few weeks or a few months. David is running for his life for 10 years. 10 years David is running for his life. So he's not thriving anymore. He's like back on the bottom just trying to survive. You know, he's in his early 20s at this point. And, you know, many of us spend our early 20s going to college or being a college athlete or starting a family or starting a career. David is spending his early 20s and his entire 20s trying to not die. He's on the run for 10 years from the king, okay? And I don't know if I can put into words how traumatic this would have been for David. A season of enormous fear, paranoia, anxiety, always scared when he goes to sleep because he doesn't know if the army is going to kill him. Again, he talks to God about it. He talks to God and he expresses his fear to God. This is what he says. It'll be in Psalm 22. He says this. He says, God, don't be far from me. Trouble's near. There's no one to help. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircle me. But you, Lord, don't be far from me. You're my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword. So David is angry. He is scared. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's begging, demanding, pleading that God show up for him. Man, as I look across this room, I know a lot of us have had perpetual seasons of anxiety. I've been there before. I've told some of you towards the end of my 20s, I had skin cancer scare. And from that point on, I was in a season of perpetual anxiety, scared to go in the sun, scared to get checkups, scared anytime I noticed something on my skin. And my story is not that much different than some of yours, where we feel like we are just in this paralyzing, just paranoia wherever we walk. We just feel like this anxiety is biological or just never really leaves us. And I'm thinking, like, David understood. He was in this season for 10 years, all through his 20s. Now, something happens. After 10 years of David running for his life, something amazing happens for David. What happens is the king who was chasing David, he ends up dying in another battle. And so this is a huge relief for David, right? He doesn't have to run anymore. And so he comes out of hiding and he comes back home. So David gets to come back home. Is everything good for David? Are we entering a great season now? Actually, no, because David gets word that his best friend of all time, Jonathan, died in the same battle. Crushing news for David. This was his best friend. We read that David tore his clothes and wept and stopped eating. He was absolutely devastated that his best friend died. So after this, David just needs a healing season, right? David just needs some time to heal. He needs to heal from the trauma of running for 10 years for his life, but he also needs to heal from his best friend dying, right? And so he just needs to heal on all fronts. And by now, David is in his early 30s, okay? So what happens is God decides to make David the new king of his country. So David is put in the new as new king. He replaces the old king. And a few years have passed, and now we're at the point where David is doing better. He's had a healing season. He's feeling better. He's back and ready to go. So he's worked through his grief. Now his country is doing well. They're defeating their enemies. They have a strong army. God is with them. Their nation's growing. The people are healthy. And he's actually a really good, wise king. People really love David. And so he's on the other side of this season and he's feeling better, right? And I think some of us maybe have been through that before where we went through a horrible season and we come out the other end and we're like, I never want to go through that again. That season was horrible, but I'm okay. I made it, right? God took care of me. I developed some grit and some fortitude. I'm a little stronger and wiser. I'm sure some of us have been through that before. Again, David talking to God about it. It'll be up on the screen. David says this to God. He says, Lord, I called to you for help and you healed me. So he's just thankful that God stayed with him all of that time, that God never left his side. Okay, after a little bit of time, something happened. And at this point, we're now in David's early 40s. And this is maybe the lowest part of David's story. I actually don't even like to share about this part because it's such a difficult part of his story. But here's what happens. So David's king, he's doing well, the country's doing well, his army is off at war, they're doing great out in war. And David's hanging out at his house, and he's on the roof, and he looks over, and he sees a woman bathing on the roof. A woman who's married to someone else. And David is also married to someone else. And we read that David is immediately overcome with desire and lust for this woman. And immediately we read that David sends orders for her to come over to his house, and he orders her to sleep with him. And she gets pregnant with his child. Now, like I said, at the time, this woman was married to one of David's soldiers who was out serving his country. And this is what David is doing back at home. And so to cover up his mistake, David realizes what he's done. To cover up his mistake, he chooses to have the soldier, who was the husband of this woman that he just slept with, he chooses to have this soldier killed in battle. He orchestrates this killing of her husband. And so now David has blood and adultery and injustice on his hands. And like I said, we don't even know if this woman gave consent. You can't say no to a king, right? So this could have even been a form of rape. This is what we call a season of massive failure. Massive failure. It's hard to put into words what kind of mistake this was. And we read that even though David wants to cover up his mistake and cover up his tracks, someone finds out about it. And King David has this moment where he has realized that all his mistakes are uncovered for all to see. And he has this moment when he realizes what he's done. And he is disgusted with himself. Again, he talks to God. He goes back to God, and this is what he says. It's in Psalm 51. It'll be on the screen. He says, "Have mercy on me, O God. I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Don't banish me from your presence." He's horrified by what he's done. He's so full of shame and guilt. Now what happens is David marries this woman and she has their child. And we read that from day one, this baby is really sick. Just like deathly sick the day it's born. And there's this moment where David is lying on the floor of his house and he's not well. He's depressed, he's sick, he's filled with guilt and shame and regret, and he hasn't moved or eaten for a week. He's laying on the floor of his house, and he's begging for God to heal his sick child. He's begging that God heals his sick baby. And God doesn't for some reason. And his baby dies within 2 days of being born. So imagine you are full of this crushing guilt and shame and failure for what you've done, and then you're having to deal with grief at the same time. This is where David is at. I want you to think about what this woman went through. So David not only forced her into this to sleep with him, most likely, but her husband then got killed, and now she has to marry this king, and then she loses her baby. And our sin can bring such consequences on other people, right? Is David gonna make it? Is he gonna pull through? What we read is after this egregious situation, right? We read that David goes back to God and confesses his sin. And what we read is that God immediately forgives him. Immediately forgives him, okay? And God comforts him and sticks with him. I want to remind you guys of something, and it's just an incredible truth. And I want this to be encouraging to you guys this morning. But remember when God chose David when he was about 15 years old, when he was a kid? God chose David full well, knowing he would make this mistake. But he still chose him. He still chose him because God knows to be human means that we will not only make small mistakes in life, but large ones like this one. But the gospel says that even though we are sinners, Christ died for our sin and paid the price for the sin that we have committed and makes us right with God by the death on the cross. That's a God thing, forgiving not just small mistakes, but really big ones in life. That's a God thing. That's a God thing. Again, David goes back to God and he says this, Psalm 32. He said, "Finally, I confessed my sin to you. I stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." So God's forgiveness over our seasons of failure is crazy and unreal. And it doesn't mean there aren't consequences. It doesn't mean that things are going to be perfect after some of these seasons of failure that we might have. But God, he sticks with us, forgives us. And I just hope that's encouraging to each of you this morning. Now, unfortunately, even though David's forgiven, sin washed clean, things get worse for David. And what happens is David has four children, and the stories of his kids take a really dark turn, okay? And what we see is that his kids are violent, they're rebellious, they're wicked. And as a father, David has to deal with the pain of his family falling apart. His family is an absolute mess. So pretty much one of his sons assaults his daughter. Two of his sons die at the hands of his two other sons. So two sons kill two other sons. And David's last son hates him, wants to take his throne, and his son dies in the process of trying to usurp his dad. Imagine one of your kids dying trying to kill you. Imagine one of your kids assaulting another kid, and then two of your kids killing two of your other kids. This is a nightmare. This is a season of utter tragedy for David. So he, in his life, lost four kids, and not like in an honorable way. His kids died at the hands of each other, okay? Again, David goes back to God. He's so sad about how his family has turned out. He goes back to God, Psalm 6. He says, "Lord, I'm faint. Heal me. My bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? All night long I fled my bed with weeping. I drenched my couch with tears." So he's just gutted. He's just gutted, okay? All right, now we're entering the last season of David's life, okay? And I think it's safe to say that his middle-aged years were horrible, okay? But we're now in a new season of his life, and now he's about in his 70s, and although his middle-aged life was a mess, we get to his 70s, and this is actually a really sweet season for David. What happens is God restores a lot in David's life. We see that God pours out all of these blessings on David. We read that David's honor is restored in his country despite the mistake that he made. There's a lot of peace and victory in his country. He has a lot of really great and loyal soldiers. He starts making plans to make a temple for God, so his heart was in the right place. David also has another child named Solomon, and Solomon's like a really good son. He's obedient and supportive of his dad, unlike the other kids. And what we see is Solomon is about to take over for David. So David is about to die, and he's about to pass on his kingdom to his son Solomon, pass on his kingship and his kingdom. And so what happens is David takes everything he's learned in his life. He takes all of his wisdom, everything he's ever learned, and he's on his deathbed, and he's pouring out all of this wisdom on his son, who, like I said, is about to take his kingdom. And so he's sharing what to do, what not to do, but he has his final words that he shares with his son, Solomon. And he says this, it'll be on the screen. He tells his son, "Be strong, be courageous, put in hard work, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged, and that God would always be with him." That God would always be with him. And then David breathes his last breath and he dies. What do we do with this story, right? What on earth do we do with the David story? I was reading one scholar called the David story the story of the most psychological depth out of any story in the Bible. Man, and I think I can see why, right? And you probably can too. What do we do with this story? What a life. What a tumultuous life for David. Every time you thought it was going to get good, it was down in the bottom of a valley again for David, right? I'm curious how God felt about David. If we were to ask God, like, God, how did you feel about David? He was a mess, right? Like, how did you feel about David? As you think about David, how did you feel about David? We might ask, how did God feel? We read God talking about David. He talks about David in the Old Testament, but also in the New. This is what God said about David. And this is a verse that Carlos and Litzy read earlier. This is what God said. Acts 13, 22. For God said of him, I have found in David, son of Jesse, a man who always pursued my heart and will accomplish everything I have destined him to do. That's what God said of David. So out of everything God could say about David, God loved David because David always chased his heart. But David sinned. He was an adulterer. He was manipulative. He had a man murdered. He couldn't control his household, his lust. He was this and that. And God said, no. He always pursued my heart. He always came back to me. He pursued my heart. What does God mean by this? You guys remember his prayers, right? In the happy and the horrible seasons, David never stopped talking to God. He never stopped talking to God. So in every season, he poured out his heart to God. He was angry. He yells at God. He's happy. He shares it with God. He's anxious and full of fear, confused, anguished. He cries out to God. He pours out his heart to God. He makes a mistake. He confesses it to God. He's being unjustly treated and chased. He vents to God. So David teaches us what it looks like to talk with God over the course of a lifetime. David teaches us what it looks like to talk with God over the course of a tumultuous lifetime. And in the David story, we see what it looks like to have never-ending conversation with God. And as David continued to return to God through the hills and the valleys of his life, he and God continued to bond into deep friendship. And if you notice, David's life was such a mess, but there was one place in David's life that he could continue coming back to, a rock, a stability amidst the storms of life. God and his friendship with God was the one stable part of David's world. Unshakable. It's what he could count on to come back to amidst the horrors of his life, right? God was David's rock in such a traumatic life. And so David never let go of God, and God never let go of him. God always received David. He was always ready to talk to David, right? He never stopped being attentive to David's world. God stuck by him through all of it. And the longer that David journeyed with God, the more he got to know God's heart, God's care, God's delight. David knew, even in the midst of a horrible failure that he committed, that he could still go back to God. And that goes for any journey, right? The longer you journey with anyone, the more you get to know them. So as I wrap up, I look at all of you, right? And I think across this room, there will be thousands of seasons collectively that all of us will go through. And man, some of you maybe have had a fairly easy life where things haven't felt that difficult. And some of us, man, have already had the ringer happen to us. And I'm in enough conversations around campus to feel like I frequently hear stories of what some of you have been through, whether it's a soul or losing a parent or losing a sibling or betrayal or rejection or a tough breakup or whatever. But David, his story encourages us to never stop talking to God throughout the course of our lifetime. You know, God is your Savior and your teacher and your Lord and your friend, but he's also a companion. You know what a companion is? A companion is someone who you take a journey with, who never leaves your side. So this is how we're going to use we have about 7 minutes. We're going to just enter a response time, and I'm going to have some discussion questions up here on the screen, and we're going to have just a track playing, and I'm just going to let you guys just use this time however you want, okay? Maybe you want to sit with yourself and just process this story. I'm actually right now going to ask my spiritual formation team to come on up, and there's not a ton of room right here, but you guys can just sit on the stage if you want, and then maybe some of you go in the back too and just pray. I want you guys to, if you want prayer for anything, come on up and get prayer by my team up here. We got Bryce and Bella, Hannah, Rachel, Bella, Noah, if you want to be up here too. If you want prayer for anything, maybe something in David's story really stirred you, if you want prayer, man, come on up and ask for prayer. I also have some discussion questions that you guys can talk to each other. Some of these questions, just ask, what about this story encouraged you? What does this story show you about God's character? What do your conversations look like with God these days? So I'm going to pray, talk with the person next to you, come on up and ask for prayer. And then our QR code today is going to be on the screen. And so if you were to get up and go to the back and look for the QR code, it won't be there. It's going to be on the screen. And we'll put that up closer to 11:20. So we're going to let me pray. And then you guys can use this time however you want. Jesus, thank you for the story of David. God, thank you for your loyalty to David and everything that you were to David during his difficult lifetime. And I pray that these students here would just receive comfort and help right now amidst some of the things they're going through, Lord. May they get prayer or talk to a friend, or may they not leave this place without feeling encouraged, Lord. So we just ask for your comfort on this place. We love you. We commit just this week to you, God, the rest of the semester. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. So feel free to enter a discussion time or just come up and get prayer.